The golden age of radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the golden age of radio, Speed Gibson battles the Octopus Gang, Archie spends a day at camp, and Marshal Matt Dillon, Chester, and Miss Kitty on an exciting episode of Gunsmoke. Stay tuned for the golden age of radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY and 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, Archie spends a day at camp, and Marshal Matt Dillon, Chester, and Miss Kitty have an exciting episode of Gunsmoke. Right now, here's Speed Gibson of the International Secret Police as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Of the International Secret Police. Clint Barlow, one of the youngest, most brilliant, and trusted men in the International Secret Police, has just brought a spectacular criminal case to a successful conclusion. Now he is about to go on a well-earned vacation, and we find him in his rooms with Speed Gibson, his orphaned 15-year-old nephew whom he is raising. He has his hands full, for Speed is the typical American boy, interested in shortwave radio, aviation, and most of all, in the International Secret Police. Because of Speed's interest in the organization and his evident aptitude, Clint has been teaching him as many rules and regulations of the secret police as he could without violating his oath of secrecy. As a result, Speed looks on crime as the height of weakness, failure, and cowardice, and has determined to do his part to end it. His admiration for his uncle and his work drives Speed on to study everything useful to a member of the secret police, for he is determined to join that organization and work with Clint. At the moment, however, Speed is working on a model of the China Clipper while Clint is reclining on the couch, snowed under with travel folders.
Oh boy. This is the life. Nothing in the world to do but decide where to go on a vacation. Hey, let's see now. Here's Palm Springs, Miami, the mountains. Hey, Speed, where would you like to go best?
China.
China? Hey, look here, fella. I can only get away for about a week or 10 days. Be reasonable.
What's that, Uncle Clint?
No, you didn't hear a word I said. Come back from wherever you are and listen to me, will you? This is important.
Gee, I'm sorry, Clint. But when I get working on this Clipper model, I forget about everything else around me.
You imagine you're actually flying in it, huh? I suppose I yanked you back from Wake Island when I asked you where we ought to go for our vacation.
No, I believe it was Midway.
Say, Speed, with your imagination, you could stay right in this room and fly all over the world.
Yeah, but I'd a lot rather really fly, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you know flying is my middle name. I've had enough traveling for a while. What I want to find now is a nice, quiet place where there's nothing to do but rest.
Oh, heck, that's no fun.
Well, maybe not for you, but it's fun for me. On my vacation, I'm going to do nothing but enjoy the beauties of nature.
No. Someone's at the door.
So I hear. See who it is, Speed. If it's anyone for me, tell them I've gone to China.
Okay. Oh, it's Barney.
Hello, kid. Is the mastermind at home?
Yeah, he's on the couch trying to find a vacation spot where he can do nothing but admire the beauties of nature.
Well, he don't have to go away on a vacation to do that as long as he's got me around.
Oh, say, when you come around, I see nothing but trouble. Now, you better not tell me that you've just come from headquarters and that the chief wants to see me about another job.
Can't a guy drop in for a friendly visit without being accused of everything under the sun?
I'm glad you came, Barney. Look at my Clipper model.
Say, that's a beaut, kid. First thing we know, you'll be piloting one of them Clipper planes across the water.
Maybe. But I'm going to be in the secret police, like Clint and you. That's why I've been studying all the rules and regulations and asking you and Clint so many questions.
Well, you've got a flair for it, all right, Speed. But you know, it's the hardest work a man can do.
I'll say it is. Especially when you're in the strong arm division like me. That's what you want to work for, kid.
Oh, is that so? Oh, listen, you big ox. Brains will get you out of many a fix that brawn never could.
I thought I'd get you off of that couch sooner or later.
The first time he's been off is his breakfast, Barney.
And you'll notice I didn't use any muscles getting him off either. It was brains. Who was it said he had the brains and me the brawn for our partnership, huh?
Both have plenty of both, if you ask me. I don't know what else going to leave me when I start working with you.
Oh, now don't worry, Speed. You have youth, a fresh viewpoint. We've been in the game so long, we're apt to get in a rut. You'll be able to see many things that we may overlook.
Well, now that that's all settled, is there anything to eat in this place?
No, but that's an idea. What do you say you go out and buy some food and bring it back here?
Oh, yeah? If I get food, I should come back here with it.
Oh, please, Barney.
Can I go on your vacation with you if I do?
Nothing doing. I see enough of you when I'm working with you. I want to rest in peace.
Yeah. If it wasn't for me, you'd have been resting in peace long ago. I've gotten you out of plenty of scrapes. All right.
Now, yes, I admit that I couldn't breathe if it weren't for you. But if you'll only forget the past and stop talking shop. I'm on my vacation, my boy, even if I am still at home.
I bet you'll stay at home, too, Clint. The chief will have a new case for you before we can get away.
He will not, because we're leaving tonight.
Where are you going?
I don't know yet. I do know it'll be someplace where headquarters can't reach me.
Uh-oh.
So you're going on a vacation, huh?
Answer it, Speed, and say I'm not here.
But Clint...
Answer it.
Hello? Oh, hello, sir. Yeah, he's here. For you, Clint. It's the chief.
Speaks well for your training, Clint. The kid won't lie even for you.
No.
Won't lie even for you.
No, sir. Hello, Chief. Yes, we're leaving tonight.
Gee, but it's another big job. I wish you'd take it.
What's that, Chief? Oh, now look here, sir. You promised me a vacation, and I'm going to hold you to that promise. Well, if something's up, let the other boys handle it. Why, sure, you're plenty of good men. Yes. No. Yes. No.
I wish he'd make up his mind.
Shh, I want to hear.
Oh, yes, I can reach Barney Dunlap for you. He's right here. What's that, Chief? You want Speed?
Gee, the chief wants me.
Right down and listen.
Oh, no, I can't do that, sir. I'm very sorry, but... Oh, yes, I'll send Barney over, but don't count on me. And certainly not Speed. What's that, Chief? The octopus. I'll be right over. Yes, sir.
What's on the fire, Clint?
What'd the chief want me for, Clint?
The vacation's off, Speed. Come on, Barney. We got to get down to headquarters right away. The octopus gang's at work again.
The octopus gang? Suffering Wang Doodles. Where to now?
Hong Kong. Oh, where's my tie? Where's that comb?
Here they are, Clint. Well, what's the octopus gang?
It's the worst criminal gang in modern history, Speed. No one has ever seen the leader, the octopus, but his organization covers the earth, exactly like the tentacles of a giant octopus. He's diabolical, a genius of evil, with a brain so brilliant that he has successfully eluded every effort made by Scotland Yard, the French Sûreté, and even our own secret police.
Gee, he's sure public enemy number one then, isn't he?
Kid, from all I've heard of him, he's a super colossal public enemy number one.
Yes, and his power is constantly growing. He must be trapped. It'll be our biggest job, Barney.
I'm ready for it, buddy.
Well, come on, then. The chief naturally didn't give me any details on the case over the phone. He just mentioned the octopus, but that was enough for me.
But what about me, Clint? The chief mentioned me, too, didn't he?
Oh, yes, Speed, but he had the wrong idea. Haven't time to tell you now. I will when I get back.
Oh, no, Clint. Let me go with you, please.
Now, Speed, what's the most important thing a member of the secret police must know?
How to obey orders.
Well, then, as your superior officer, I order you to remain here until we get back.
Yes, sir.
And carry on with the China Clipper while we're gone, fella.
Gee, Barney, how can I work on a Clipper model when there's something really big in the air?
Well, kid, I don't know.
I wonder what the chief wanted with me. Oh, doggone.
So long, kid. I'll bring some food back.
Clint always says how fine I'm doing in the secret police studies. But when I maybe get a chance to do some real work, what happens? I gotta stay home. No adventures could ever happen here at home. Now what? Oh, hello.
Does Clint Barlow hang out here?
Clint Barlow? Why, he's not here.
Oh, no. Don't try shutting the door in my face. If he ain't here, that's fine. I'll just come in and wait. But not long enough for him to get back.
Who are you?
Just call me Blackie if you must call me something. Nice little joint Barlow's got here.
Well, what do you want with my uncle?
Listen, I didn't come here to answer no questions, see? Just keep out of my way and you won't get hurt. But don't bother me none.
I won't, but I gotta make a few phone calls.
Keep away from that phone if you want to stay healthy.
Well, I...
And speaking of phones, your uncle was talking on that one just a few minutes ago, wasn't he?
I don't know.
You don't, huh? And I'll tell you, he was and I wasn't here. Barlow was chinning with his chief about the octopus gang.
Octopus? That's a kind of fish, isn't it?
Sometimes. Play dumb if you want, Speed Gibson, but you ain't fooling nobody. I heard the chief talking to Barlow about you.
You heard him?
Yeah, your phone wire's tapped. I didn't learn much, but what I did hear made me kind of curious. I saw Barlow and his pal leave, so I thought I'd mosey in and learn some more.
Well, who are
you? Never mind. I'm going to take a look around. Maybe I'll find something that'll tell me more than you can.
Hey, keep away from that desk.
Who says so? Sit down and shut up.
Keep your hands off those things.
You keep away from me or I'll fix it so you won't worry about what I'm doing here. What's that on the table?
My clipper ship.
I suppose your Uncle Clint made it for you.
No, I made it. It's just like the real one. The body's real heavy. I weighted it so as it'd have perfect balance.
I ain't interested in clipper ships.
Well, here's one that'll be interesting to you. Golly, I knocked him cold.
Hey, Steve, let us in.
You have
your lock in this door.
Yeah, I forgot my hat.
Suffering wang doodles. Who's this guy? Somebody's put him on ice. And look at Speed's clipper model. It's wrecked.
Yeah, I ruined it.
Who is this man?
He was looking through all your papers in the desk here. And he knew about you talking with the chief about the octopus gang. Said he'd tapped our wires.
Let me get the handcuffs on him.
Did I do the wrong thing, Clint?
The wrong thing? Why, you're the best man of the three of us. Come on, get your coat, Speed. You've got to come along and deliver your prisoner.
What?
If the chief doesn't make you a bona fide member of the secret police for this, I'll eat Barney's hat. Speed, you're the first person who's ever captured an octopus gangster. Come on, let's get to headquarters.
Jughead, this is Archie. Come over right away. It's a matter of life or death.
Oh, relax, Archie. Relax.
Yes, indeed, and you relax too, folks, while you visit Archie Andrews of comic strip fame, his family, and his friends. You know Archie, and now he comes to you with all his gang in a YMCA presentation, A Day at Camp. Well, as we look in on the friendly little city of Riverdale, we find Archie engaged in the great American pastime, sitting on the porch of the girl next door, whiling away a sunny afternoon.
Well, Betty, school's almost out.
Yes. How many more days?
Well, I haven't figured it out exactly, Betty, but roughly speaking, there's about 41 hours, 15 minutes, and 30 seconds of school time left this term.
Archie?
Hmm?
Have you made any plans for the summer?
Oh, sure. I'm going to Stevens Lake with the folks this year.
Are you, Archie, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's wonderful. But aren't you going back to the YMCA camp at Whitmore Lake?
Nope. I'd rather be at Stevens Lake this summer.
Why, Archie?
Well, Stevens Lake is a beautiful lake.
What else?
Well, the scenery's swell.
What else?
And it's always cool there.
What else?
And a lot of people I like will be there.
Who, Archie?
Oh, lots of people. In fact, I hear Veronica's family's taking the cottage right next door to ours.
Oh, I see.
Did I say something?
Oh, no, Archie. Not a thing. Well, I'd better go see if I can help Mother. See you later, Archie.
Oh, gee whiz. A girl is one thing a fellow like me will never understand. Mary.
Yes, dear?
Mary, I've been thinking. Perhaps we ought to have Archie go to the YMCA camp at Whitmore Lake this summer.
Well, now, what made you decide that, dear?
Well, I don't know. Tom Jones is telling me he's sending Jughead to camp again, and I think it's a good idea. They teach the kids how to get along with each other, how to keep out of mischief, and if there's one lesson Archie needs, that's it.
Well, perhaps you're right, dear.
Well, of course I'm right.
Hi, Dad. Hi, Mom. Oh,
hello,
hello,
son.
Archie.
Say, Dad, don't you think we ought to run out to the lake tomorrow and get the cottage ready for the summer?
Oh, your mother and I were just talking about that, Archie.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. We're thinking you might like to go to camp again this year.
What?
Mm-hmm. I had a talk with Sam Blake at the Y. They still have room at Whitmore Lake for a few more campers.
Oh, no, Dad. I'm not interested in camp this year.
Well, why not, son? Didn't you have fun at camp?
Oh, yeah, Dad, sure. It's a swell camp, but, well, I'd rather sooner go to Stevens' camp this summer.
Oh, well, Jughead is going to camp, Archie.
Yeah, I know, Dad, but I'd still rather go to Stevens' lake.
Well, Fred, if the boy doesn't want to go to camp...
All right, son, I won't press the point. You may go to Stevens' lake.
Gee, thanks, Dad.
After all, it's your decision.
Veronica. Hello, Veronica.
Hello, Archie. Where y'all going?
I was on my way over to see Jug, Veronica.
That anything special?
Well, yeah, sort of. Wanted to talk to him about this summer.
Oh?
Yeah, you know what almost just happened?
What?
My dad almost wanted me to go to camp at Whitmore Lake.
Really? Why, that's quite a coincidence.
Coincidence?
Yes, I'm going to camp at Whitmore Lake.
You are?
Uh-huh. I'm going to Camp Minnetonka.
Camp Minnetonka? You mean right next door to the Y camp?
Uh-huh.
But, gee, that... I mean... Well, I thought your folks took a cottage at Stevens Lake.
Well, they did, but I'm not going. It's too dull at Stevens Lake. Why, Archie, where are you rushing off to?
Home, Veronica. Home to reverse a decision.
And so, when Archie was 42 classroom hours older, Archie arrived at camp.
Come on, Jack.
Where are we going?
To the recreation hall. Uncle Bill's going to make a speech.
Okay, fellas. Let's have some quiet. I don't want to make any speeches. I just want to welcome you back to Camp Greylock and say we're going to have a lot of fun together. Now, I know our new campers have heard of our program of character building and racial understanding. Well... Don't let those big words frighten you. It means only hours of good sportsmanship, teamwork, and fun. Baseball, swimming, arts and crafts, canoeing, and all the other camp activities. It means that there are boys here of many different racial backgrounds, but we're all Americans. Now remember, all together. These are the things the Y stands for. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Now, about rules... just one rule I want to mention now. No one is to take out a canoe at any time unless he is qualified and unless there's another canoe in the vicinity with a counselor in it. Got that?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Well, it's just plain safety. I'll have to punish anyone who violates that rule. Okay. Now, schedule for this afternoon, boys. Baseball on the main athletic field. Following that, a free period.
Gee, Jug, maybe I can get permission to visit Veronica.
Yeah.
Okay, fellas. Now let's go out and play ball. All of us.
Gee, that's right. Oh, boy, hand me a bat. Here's where I smack a home run right into the lake. Here's where
Attention, athletic field.
Archie Andrews, report to the front office. Archie Andrews, report to front office.
Oh, me?
Archie Andrews, report to front office. That is all.
Oh, well, I'd probably have struck out anyway. Did you send for me, Uncle Bill?
Archie, I got a visitor who'd like to see the camp. Thought you wouldn't mind escorting her around.
Her?
Yes, Miss Agatha Gush. The sister of one of our new campers. She's just visiting for the day.
Agatha Gush?
That's right. You find her waiting on the front lawn.
Yes, Uncle Bill. Oh, could I ask you something?
Yes?
Could I have permission to leave campgrounds during the free period tonight?
Leave camp?
Yeah, I'd like to visit a friend at Camp Minnetonka.
I see. Well, Andrews, maybe. Check with me when you come back from guiding Miss Gush. I'll let you know then.
Yes, Uncle Bill. I'll guide Miss Gush like she's never been guided before.
Oh, are you going to guide me around camp?
Yes, Miss Gush.
Oh, you may call me Agatha.
All right, Agatha.
You're sweet.
Beg pardon?
You're sweet.
Agatha, I don't know what, but something you got needs oiling. Well, shall we look at the camp?
Oh, I'd love to. What'll we see first?
Well, how'd you like to see a real swell baseball game?
Baseball?
Yeah. We'll go down to the athletic field. You can sit on a nice, comfortable bench and watch me hit a ball all over the field.
Yeah, all right. Will it take long?
Oh, no, only 2 hours or so.
Oh, but then it would be time for me to go home.
That's what I mean.
Oh, but I'd rather just take a nice walk around camp. A nice, long, long walk.
Yeah, somehow I knew you would.
Just look at the gorgeous daisies. Aren't they divine?
Yeah, simply divine.
My, just look at the hills. Everything looks so gigantic way up there.
Yeah, gigantic.
My, just look at the valley. Everything looks so infinitesimal down there.
Yeah, what you said.
Oh, look, a squirrel. Isn't he sweet?
Agatha, you're squeaking again.
So this is the lake.
Yes, Agatha, this is the lake. Well, now you've seen it all.
Oh, look, canoes.
Yeah, we got a dozen of them.
Oh, I'd love to go canoeing.
Can't.
But why not?
It's against the rules to go out in a canoe alone.
Oh, but I've never been in a canoe.
Then I'm certainly not taking you out in one.
I think you're afraid to go out in an old canoe.
Listen, Agatha, I am not afraid.
Then let me see you take two.
All right, I will. But just a few feet from the dock.
All right, just a few
feet. And then right back in again.
All right.
Okay, hop in. Now sit back there. Oh, hand me that paddle.
Here.
Now untie that rope.
All right.
Hey, don't push off that way.
Why not?
I told you we can't go out very far. Well, do you like canoeing?
Yeah, I guess so. Very dull.
Well, you've had enough now. I'm going to take it back in.
Oh, but I haven't paddled yet.
And you're not going to.
Oh, but I want to paddle just a little. Please.
Agatha, cut it out. Agatha, sit down. Agatha. Oh, how do I get into these things?
Help. Help me. I'm drowning. Help.
Jewish. I'm coming, Agatha.
Help. Help.
Here I am. Hold on to my shoulders. Agatha.
Help.
Agatha,
help.
You'll be all right.
Oh.
That's right. No, not around my neck, Agatha. Agatha, let go. Agatha, help. Help.
Help.
Archie Andrews, what's going on there?
I'm just drowning a little.
Andrews, listen to me. Andrews.
Is this any time for lectures? Help.
Andrews, stand up.
What?
I said stand up. The water's only 3 feet deep.
Oh, gee whiz.
Oh, it is only 3 feet.
Yes, Agatha. This is where you get off.
Well, Andrews, any explanation for this?
No, sir.
All right, Andrews. No canoeing for you for 2 weeks. And you'll spend the free period tonight in your bunk.
Yes, Uncle Bill.
Oh, my hero. You saved my life.
Agatha, the water was only 3 feet deep.
Yes, but it might have been deeper.
But it wasn't. Now I gotta go to my bunk.
Then this is goodbye?
Uh-huh.
But I don't even know your name.
Why do you want to know my name?
Because I'd like to call you sometime in the city.
What? My name, Agatha, is Jughead. Jughead Jones.
Hi, Archie. Gee whiz, what happened to you?
I fell in the lake.
In the lake? How?
Never mind the gruesome details, Jug. But I can't use a canoe for 2 weeks, and I can't visit Veronica tonight. And Uncle Bill lectured me about that character building again.
Gee, that's tough.
It sure is. Well, say, what's all that stuff?
This? Oh, some new baseball things. See, new glove.
Gee, that's a beauty.
And spike shoes, and a new bat and a ball, and the whole uniform.
Gee whiz, Jug. Well, where'd you get all that?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
Oh, no fooling, Archie. As I was walking down to the bunk, some guy came rushing up to me and gave me this stuff. Kept shouting how I saved his daughter's life.
Saved his daughter's life?
Yeah. Some man by the name of Gush. Joseph P. Gush.
Jughead, the next time Uncle Bill spouts off about character building and I don't pay attention, will you kick me?
Kick you, Archie?
Yes, Jug, and you can start right now.
Archie Andrews' Day at Camp has been a YMCA presentation. The script was written by Carl Jampel and is based on the copyrighted feature appearing in Archie Comics magazine. Archie was played by James Dobson, Charles Urquhart directed, with Henry Silburn at the organ. And this is Bob Sherry saying, so long.
This is the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY. First broadcast on May 7th, 1946. That was James Dobson as Archie Andrews. Also an episode of Speed Gibson of the International Secret Police. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s. When the Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Starring William Conrad as U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon, Parley Bear as Chester Proudfoot, and Georgia Ellis as Miss Kitty, here's an exciting episode of Gunsmoke on the Golden Age of Radio.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Doggone it, Mr. Dillon. One of these here days, I'm just going to shake the dust of Dodge City off of my boots for good.
Sure, I know, Chester. How much you lose this time?
$11.20. Who said anything about losing?
Well, every time you sit in on one of those draw games, the boys whipsaw you and you threaten to pull stakes and leave town.
And one of these times, I'm going to do it, too.
Sure, and the first thing you look for in the next town will be a draw poker table.
Well, maybe I ought to change to stud or blackjack.
Maybe you ought to just keep your money in your pocket. You ever think of that?
No, I got a hunch my luck is right on the point of turning, Mr. Dillon.
No?
Well, if I only had, say, $5 or so to get back into the game...
No.
I could be... Even if I only had a dollar... Oh, Miss Kitty. Just one single dollar.
You broke, Chester?
Well, yes.
There you go.
Oh, no. Now, I just couldn't think of taking money from a lady, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, well,
except
take it
as a loan. Maybe I could. Excuse me, Mr. Dillon. I'll pay it back in just a few minutes.
You know, Kitty, you're a born soft touch.
Oh, well, if he needs it, Matt.
It's those sharps over there at the poker table that need it.
Oh, well, you can't get hurt bad on $1.
Chester's hurt bad when he loses 10 cents.
Yeah. Maybe he's lucky, Matt.
Yeah, how so?
Oh... Forget it, Matt. Just one of those nights, I guess.
Yeah. Dad, would a drink help, maybe?
Probably not. But I'll have one anyway. At least it won't do me any harm.
Okay.
Oh, well, I see the Marshal of Dodge is out carousing again.
Hello, Doc.
How are you, Doc? Oh, my kitty, you look prettier than a basket full of sunflowers.
Well, thank you.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Oh, say, Matt... You'll never guess who came to my office for help this afternoon.
No, but they got my sympathy, Doc.
It was old Carpus Degg.
Carpus?
Who's Carpus Degg?
Well, he lives in a shack on the river bottom, Kitty. He hunts a little, traps some, keeps pretty much to himself.
What's wrong with him, Doc?
Nothing. He brought me a patient. Too late to do any good, of course. He died right on my operating table.
Oh.
Died of what?
A bullet wound.
You mean somebody was shot this afternoon and you didn't tell me about it?
I didn't figure it was important. Was to Carpus, though. Yes. He looked mighty broken up when he left.
Doc, will you please...
I reckon a man living alone that way, without any human friends, can get pretty fond of an old hound dog.
A dog?
Yeah. I guess I did forget to mention, it was that old spotted hound dog of his that was shot.
How are you, Doc? Miss Kitty?
Yeah, Chester.
Do you think maybe you can get by till payday for that dollar?
Forget it, Chester.
Yeah, yes, forget it, Chester. No use looking at me, Chester.
Well, I was just thinking...
Doc, did Carpus have any idea who shot his dog?
If he did, he wasn't saying. But from the look on his face when he walked out, I'm glad it wasn't me.
Well, now, why would anybody do a thing like that?
Well, I don't know. It's too bad, but there's nothing much to be done about it.
I think maybe I better ride out there in the morning and have a talk with Carpus.
What for?
This wouldn't be the first time that a dog getting killed would finally lead to a man getting killed.
Warning. Warning.
What's the matter?
Well, I have a warning for all eligible dependents seeking medical care at government expense from civilian sources.
Well, so all right already.
Be sure the physician and hospital are participating in the Medicare program before beginning treatment.
Well, so my dependents have checked. Now what?
they should make sure they use their ID card to obtain only that medical care to which they are entitled. Misuse of the ID card is punishable by a fine of up to $10,000 or imprisonment of up to 5 years.
For a couple of aspirins?
Don't take chances. Read the pamphlet, Dependence, Medical Care Program.
Oh, no, that's what I call scare advertising.
Shack looks deserted, Mr. Dillon. Maybe old Cropper's gone off somewheres.
And there's somebody cutting wood over there in the draw. Let's leave our horses here in the lean-to, Chester.
All right, sir. Man, it'd have to be a little ouchy to want to live out here all alone this way.
Yeah, maybe it's not a matter of choice.
No company except for a dog. No neighbors for 10 miles or more.
That's not quite that far. Pete Raymer's got a homestead about 2 miles north of here.
Maybe he shot that hound, Mr. Dillon.
Well, why do you say that?
Well, I don't know. But folks mostly leaves old carpus to himself.
Yeah, I know.
Hold it there. Right where you are.
Mr. Dillon.
Take it easy, Chester.
Who is it? Speak up there.
It's Matt Dillon, carpus, and Chester. Now, you better put that rifle down.
Oh. Well, I didn't recognize you, Marshal. My eyes ain't what they used to be. I thought maybe it was... Well...
You thought what?
Well, I just didn't know.
You mean you thought it might be whoever shot your dog, huh?
Oh, Doc told you about that, huh?
I'm sorry to hear it, Cubs.
I'd had Danny Boy 11 years, Marshal. He was going blind, pretty near bad as me. And he sure weren't no use to hunt with no more. But I'll say one thing, Marshal. I'd given my right arm rather than lose that hound. I reckon folks should call it crazy, but that's how I felt.
Well, living alone, I guess a man learns to appreciate a dog.
Well, he understood every word that was said to him just as good as you or me. By evenings, we'd sit there in my shack and I'd talk to him and... Well, we won't be doing that no more now.
Who do you think shot him?
Let's walk back up to the shack, Marshal. It's getting mighty cold standing here.
All right.
Here, look, yonder. Here goes a rabbit. Look at that and fool run.
He's sure scratching gravel.
Danny Boy'd been after him like a shot. He'd have lost him right off, but he'd sure give it a try. Rabbits, coyotes, prairie chickens, he'd chase anything that moved. Blundering along, blind as a bat, baying his lungs out.
Carpus, you have any idea why anybody would want to shoot him?
Because they're playing low down mean, that's why. Ain't no other reason for doing a thing like that. Come on inside.
All right.
Ain't nothing fancy, but it keeps the weather off. I have some coffee going here in a couple of minutes, Marshal, if you're mind to set a spell.
Well, don't go to any bother on our account.
No, no, it's no bother. Just get a few more logs in here. I ain't sure I can scare up 3 mugs, though. It's kind of unusual having callers here. Folks who always acted like I had the plague or something.
Well, people get caught up in their own troubles, I guess, Carvis. Just get too busy sometimes to be neighborly.
Yeah, man can get lonesome, Marshal.
Yeah, I know. Pete Raymer and his missus ever drop by here?
No, never.
Where'd you find the dog after he'd been shot?
I didn't find him. He found me. He come dragging himself back here to the cabin. I rushed him right into dock, but it was too late.
And you don't know where it happened, then?
Yes, I know. I followed his trail back this morning. It was on a brushy draw, About a mile from here.
Toward the Raymer place?
You know, more or less. I'll take care of it, Marshal. You just stay out of it. Law's for people and not for dumb animals.
Your dog wasn't shot by a dumb animal, Carpus.
I'll settle it my own way.
And you know who did it?
Well, I know, all right. And I'll see they pay for it, too.
That kind of paying for it gets out of hand sometimes.
I'm the one that suffered the loss. It's my concern, not the
Carpus,
loss.
Carpus, come out here.
Somebody's out there in the yard.
You hear me?
Get out. Get out on the floor. Well, it seems like one of your neighbors has finally come calling on you, Carpus.
Another visit with Joe and Daphne Forsythe.
Joe.
Yeah. I'm up. Now forget breakfast. I'll shave at work.
Joe, it's not time to go to work.
Then why'd you wake me up?
You were snoring.
How about that?
You were snoring loud.
Oh, really?
I just wanted to quiet you.
I thought I was quiet.
You sounded like a buzzsaw going through a pine knot.
Pretty good. I wish I could be with you at 2:30 in the morning.
You can go back to sleep now.
Oh, gee, thanks.
You can get a good night's sleep, too. Our savings bonds will protect us.
Huh?
They protect us. The money we invest is used to protect our country and its freedoms. Why, all around us, we can see the safeguards that our bonds have paid for.
How about that?
So, you see, when you buy that savings bond with every paycheck, you're really investing in a secure night's sleep.
Not in this house, I'm not.
What?
Good night, Daphne.
Good night, Joe.
That's Pete Raymer out there, Marshal.
You heard me, you mangy old weasel. Come on out here.
He's aiming to kill me.
But why?
Well, I don't rightly know, but he fired a bullet through the window, didn't he?
All right, Carpus, you stay away from the door. You too, Chester.
Yes, sir.
Raymer, it's Matt Dillon. You hold your fire. I'm coming out.
I didn't know you was in there, Marshal.
No, I guess you didn't.
You understand, I wasn't aiming to shoot nobody.
Is that so?
No. Just trying to throw a scare into him. Into old Carpus, I mean. Bring him to his senses, maybe.
Has he been out of his senses?
Well, he sure act like it. Marshal, you know what he'd done this morning? He tried to shoot my kid's dog. Yeah. Snuck up through the brush, took a shot at her. Sonny, seen him do it.
Any idea what it'd cause him to do a thing like that?
Oh, dang if I know. He's just crazy, I reckon. He always been to my touch, you know that. That's why folks around here just stay shy of him.
Well, that might work both ways, Rimmer.
How's that?
Being lonesome, acting strange. They kind of go together sometimes.
Yeah, maybe.
Are you the one who shot his dog?
What? If he says that, he's a liar. I ain't even seen that old hound for a week. Didn't know he was shot till you told me. Anybody says I done that is a liar.
Well, I say you done it, Raymer. You calling me a liar?
I'm calling you anything you are.
Right.
You stand there and listen to. Marshal, is that what he told you, that I killed his dog?
No, he didn't tell me anything. He said he'd take care of it himself.
Yes, and I will, too.
That's what you was doing, sneaking around my place this morning.
An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. It's the law of the scripture.
All right, you just take warning from me right now. I catch you around my place one more time, I'm going to put a bullet in you.
Well, I ain't too bad to shot myself.
You better be a good shot.
All right, shut up, both of you. Shut up. It's like I told you, Coppers, this way of paying for things comes high sometimes.
Danny Boy was the only thing I had in the world, Marshal.
Well, then you ought to find out who killed him instead of coming around and scaring my kid after death.
I know who killed
him. Sonny come running home like old Scratch yourself was after him, yelling. It's Mr. Dagg, he's yelling. He just took a shot at my dog. Oh, Carpus, if I could have got my hands on you...
Wait a minute, right Rimmer. Then. Wait a minute. Is that really what he said?
I ain't known to be a liar, Marshal.
The exact words, I mean.
Well, that's the gospel, so hell. If lightning was to strike me, then
all right. I suppose we all ride over to your place, Rimmer.
My place?
Yeah. I want to talk to Sonny.
What for?
It might help to prevent a murder.
Kid, Marshal, right there in front of the barn. Sonny? Sonny?
Yeah, Pop?
Come on over here a minute, Sonny, will you? Marshal wants to talk to you.
Marshal?
Yeah, come on. Here, Sonny, come back.
He run into the barn, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah.
I can't figure what come over that boy, Marshal.
Well, we'll soon find out. Maybe it'd be better if you and Carpus stayed here with the horses, Raymer.
You say so?
Keep an eye on him, Chester. Don't let him get into an argument.
All right, sir.
Can't figure why Sonny'd run into that barn. Anyway, just like you see the goat. Don't figure why the marshal
would talk.
Sonny. What do you want?
I want to talk to you. I want you to open the door.
Boy!
You can't get away from a thing by hiding from it, Sonny.
I'm going away, Marshal. I got a gun in here.
Oh? Good, I'd like to see it.
No!
All right, Sonny, I'll give you just 3 seconds to open this door, and I'll move.
All right, Marshal. Go ahead and arrest me if you want to, but please don't let Mr. Dagg shoot Nellie.
He won't.
He tried to this morning. That's why I got her tied up here in the barn.
Now, why do you suppose he did it, Sonny?
Why, to get even, because I... Well, I guess you know about it, don't you?
Know about what?
It was an accident, Marshal. Cross my heart it was. I was after an old coyote, and he ran into that brush patch. And I went in after him and seen something moving. I thought it was him, so I fired. Only it wasn't. It was that old hound dog of Mr. Dagg's.
Oh. A man should never pull a trigger unless he's sure what he's got in his sights, Sonny.
Yes, sir, I know. Pop always told me that, but I just forgot. Now I have to go to jail and...
Now, you stop that kind of talk. You're not going to jail. Hey, Carpus, come over here, will you? You too, Raymer.
I was scared to tell what happened because I knew Pop would be mad and... I didn't think anyone would believe me.
What is it, Marshal?
Carpus, it was the boy here who shot your dog.
It was?
I didn't mean to do it, Mr. Dagg. I thought it was a coyote, but it was old Danny Boy. Oh, I know how you like that old hound. I sure feel awful about it.
Are you sure it was an accident?
Yes, sir, it was. Honest, it was.
Well...
Nellie's going to have pups in a couple of weeks, Mr. Dagg. And I'll let you have your choice of the litter. Any one of them you want.
Well, that hound of mine was a trained hunter, Sonny. Takes a lot of work to train a young pup.
I'll help you. I'll come over every day as soon as my chores is done and help you train him.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty fair offer. This Nellie's a good dog, is she?
She's the best dog in the world. You just take a look at her. Come on, I'll show you.
I'm mighty sorry about this, Carpus.
Yeah, that's all right. He couldn't be helped.
Come on, Mr. Dagg.
Yeah, all right, Sonny. All right, I'm coming.
Yeah.
Looks like old Carpus has finally got himself a friend, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah. Looks like two, though, Chester. Counting the pup.
According to Thomas Jefferson, equal justice to all men, regardless of their political or religious beliefs, is an essential principle of our political philosophy. The amendments to our Constitution spell out what we mean by justice. For example, no one can conduct an unreasonable search of our homes or businesses, or seize any of our belongings. We can't be held for a capital or infamous crime unless we are first indicted by a grand jury. And we are entitled to a speedy and a public trial by an impartial jury. The accused has a right to confront the witnesses against him, and he can force witnesses who could aid his case to testify. Of course, he cannot be made to testify against himself. He is entitled to the help of a lawyer, and he cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. These are definitions in our Dictionary of Freedom. Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The script was specially written for Gunsmoke by Les Crutchfield, with editorial supervision by John Meston. The music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns were by Ray Kemper and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Parley Bear as Chester, Howard McNear as Doc, and Georgia Ellis as Kitty. George Walsh speaking. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Episode number 241 of Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad as U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon, Parley Bear as Chester, and Georgia Ellis as Miss Kitty. This has been the golden age of radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows. On the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the golden age of radio next week at the same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM. And online at WMKY.org.